Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If you, O Lord, should count our sins,
Lord,
but with you there is forgiveness. Then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We just
of God unto all of you. And in the standing by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble.
I will rescue him and honor him.
With long life, I will satisfy him
and show him my salvation.
Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place,
the Most High, who is my refuge,
no evil shall be allowed to befall you,
no plague come near your tent.
For he will command his angels concerning you
to guard you in all your ways.
On their hands they will bear you up,
lest you strike your foot against the stone.
You will tread on the lion and the adder.
The young lion and the serpent you will tread.
When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble.
I will rescue him and honor him.
With long life, I will satisfy him.
And show him my salvation.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O Lord God, you led your ancient people through the wilderness and brought them to the promised land. Guide the people of your church that following our Savior, we may walk through the wilderness of this world toward the glory of the world to come. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The Old Testament reading for the first Sunday in Lent is from the first book of Moses, called Genesis, the 22nd chapter. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham," and he said, "Here am I." He said, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on the mountains of which I shall tell you." So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you." And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went, both of them, together. And Isaac said to his father, "Abraham, my father." And he said, "Here am I, my son." He said, "Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." So they went, both of them, together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here am I." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram, caught in the thicket by its horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of the place, "The Lord will provide." And he said, "To this day, on the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided." And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in your offspring shall all nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him.
And he is known to them in his covenants.
To you, O Lord,
I lift up my soul.
O my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame.
Let not my enemies exult over me.
Indeed, none who wait for you shall be put to shame.
They shall be ashamed who are wont to be treacherous.
Make me to know your ways, O Lord.
Teach me your paths.
Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation.
For you are my faith all day long.
Remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love.
For the day that I am from of old.
Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions.
According to your steadfast love, remember me for the sake of your goodness, O Lord.
Good and upright is the Lord.
Therefore, he instructs sinners in the way.
He leads the humble in what is right.
And he teaches the humble his way.
All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness.
For those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him.
And he makes known to them his covenant.
The reading from the letters is from the letter of St. James, the first chapter. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God had promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, "I am being tempted by God," for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desires. Then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my brothers, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be kind of first fruits of his creatures. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Put on the whole armor of God,
that you may be able to stand
the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens opening and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." The Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Sits at the right hand.
Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is the second reading from the letter of St. James. We start with the first verse. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised for those who love him. This is our text. With the beginning of Lent, we set our face to go toward Holy Week and Easter. It's exactly what Jesus did. He set his face to go to the cross. And he set his face to go to the cross in the sure and certain hope of the resurrection. Jesus goes there for two reasons. He goes to the cross and resurrection, first, to put sin to death, and then second, to enter into a new life. Lent puts us on that same journey with Jesus. We also are headed with him to Good Friday and to Easter. And we follow him with the same dual purpose in mind, that sin in us would be put to death, and that his resurrection life would be given to us. In a way, Lent is simply reconnecting us with our baptism, because through baptism we have died to sin and we've been given a new life. This is what St. Paul says in Romans chapter 6. We were buried with Christ by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ has been raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. St. Paul says that through baptism, we lose something and we gain something. We lose our sin and we gain resurrection life. Lent is preparing us for Easter. Even as we look ahead to the resurrection, already right now we begin to live that new life. Today's reading from James fits that same theme as well. It engages the theme of tested faith. Tested faith. Toward the beginning of the letter, St. James wrote about Christian trials. He said, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness." As Christians, we have faced trials, challenging circumstances. We may be facing trials now. We certainly will face trials in the future. What kind of trials will we have? Trials like sickness, disease, dealing with death in the lives of loved ones or ourselves. Trials perhaps in the workplace or financially, in relationships with other people. In life, there's no escaping trials of various kinds. But, as we heard today, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Blessed is the man. But who is the man? Who is the one who remains steadfast under trial? Who can endure the day of testing? Ask ye, who is this? Jesus Christ it is. Of Sabaoth, Lord, and there's none other God, he holds the field forever. We heard about the endurance of our Lord in the gospel reading. After his baptism, the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. The very beginning of his ministry sets the stage for everything that follows, including his crucifixion. If you read through the Gospels, and I encourage you to consider reading through one of the Gospels this Lenten season, look for the ways in which Jesus is tempted. Tempted to turn aside from his work, the work given to him by his Father. Tempted to forsake suffering and seek an easier way. Tempted to doubt and despair his father's love for him. Tempted to crumble in the face of death. He was tempted. Tempted in every way like us, but without sin. And he stood the test, and on the third day, he received the crown of life. James may have another man in mind as well when he said, "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial." In the early church, at the time when James would have been writing, there was one other man whose life and death shone brightly in the church. That man was Saint Stephen. In Greek, the name Stephen, Stephanos, means wreath or crown. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast, for he will receive the crown of life. After Jesus, Stephen was the first one to endure the ultimate trial. We read about it in the book of Acts. It says they cast Stephen out of the city to stone him. And as they were stoning him, he called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he'd said this, he fell asleep. Think about the way that Stephen handled that trial. In contrast to others, some who betrayed him, some who denied him, some who fled when the trial came, Stephen confessed the faith without denial, and so he received the promised reward. "Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." Through faith in Jesus, he became like his Lord. Blessed is Stephen, who received his Stephanos, his crown. As we consider trials of various kinds in our lives, our prayer is this: may God strengthen us in our trials to love him like that. But there is another way that people have of responding to trials and to temptation. Stephen trusted in God for endurance, and he placed his hope in the promise of the resurrection. But others turn on God and blame him. James echoes this language. He knows that people say this. When people are tempted, they say, "I'm being tempted by God," or "Why has God done this to me?" It's an echo of Adam in the Garden of Eden. You remember what he said: "God, it was this woman whom you gave to me who made me to do this." That old Adam still lives in each one of us. He always wants to find a reason for sin outside of us, in something or someone else. Our old Adam even wants to make God the cause of our sin. And we may think that this is what Jesus was teaching in the Lord's Prayer. He said, "Lead us not into temptation." But he's not blaming God. He's praying that God, teaching us to pray that God would keep us steadfast in times of trial. So James says, "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I'm being tempted by God.' For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one." So who is it that tempts? Satan is the one who tempts. He has evil designs. He aims to draw you and me away from God and to make us distrust him and blaspheme him. But we know that God doesn't do that. God doesn't tempt anyone with sin. We know that God doesn't entice anyone to evil. But he does permit and provide ways for our faith to be tested and strengthened. Consider what engineers do. They put things to the test to ensure that they can withstand greater and greater trials. And so also God tests us. In doing this, he prepares us for the greatest trial of all. When you think of the trials of various kinds that we meet, what is the last and greatest trial that we meet? It is the trial of death, the trial of dying. Our faith needs to be strong so that it will be able to withstand that last and final trial. When the trial of death draws near, it looks like death has the last word. But of course it doesn't. Christ has the last word. And so as we go through testing in our lives, God is exercising and strengthening our faith so that we are able to endure the ultimate trial and so that we can help our loved ones do the same. But temptation comes from a different place. St. James says, each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. It's such a graphic description of how sin develops. Sin isn't just a series of things that people do wrong. It has deep roots. It plays on our will, on our emotions. How often have we heard someone justify sin by saying, I want, or I feel? The devil doesn't have to look far to find an ally inside of each one of us. Our corrupt desires, our sinful nature. So when it comes to temptation, we do not need to blame other people. We don't need to point the finger at our circumstances. Jesus tells us that it's out of the heart that come sinful desires. It is inborn, intrinsic inside of us. And those ungodly desires, they lead to sin. And sin, when it matures, leads to death. Separation from the God who is life. What this means for us as Christians is that we are in a non-stop war. This is the negative aspect of Lent. We are in a non-stop war, learning to put away our sinful desires with their deadly results. I know that you feel it. You feel this tug of the sinful nature, constantly back towards sin. And at the same time, the tug of the new man, Christ in us, pulling us forward into the life of the age to come. This is a struggle that we live with until the grave. You can't trust your desires. You can't trust your feelings. But you can trust in Christ. And you can trust in his holy word. And you can trust in his Holy Spirit who breathes out that word. So we pray against the danger of temptation. And we pray that God would equip us in Christ to overcome and win the victory. Satan loves to deceive. But don't be deceived, St. James says. We must see God correctly. Corrupt desires don't come from him, but instead, every good and perfect gift from above comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Your kind Heavenly Father is the only one. He only gives good and perfect things. He's like an overflowing fountain, constantly pouring forth with his love for you. How do we know that his love is so sure? Because he sent his son to the cross for you. And he raised him from the dead on the third day. So whenever you face trials of any kind or afflictions, whenever you struggle, and especially when death is near, seek from him the gift of perseverance and faith. Cry to him for strength to resist the old sinful nature, so that being strengthened, you will be assured of the greatness of his love for you in Christ. And what gift does God give? His gifts have to do with salvation. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. The good gift that is coming is that comes is his Son, who came in the flesh. He came from above, and he was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He is the good gift. So also Jesus came to give his life as a ransom for many. The perfect, completed, finished gift is the atonement he made for you on the cross. So the good and perfect gifts of salvation have already come down from heaven, and God gives them to you here, and he gives them to you now. He has made you a new creation in Christ. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creation.
God desires us to be his own. And that we might be his own, he has made us new creations in Christ through holy baptism. We have a new, holy, and eternal life in him. We have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. This new birth is a birth that comes by the Holy Spirit. And it is yours, dear Christian. You have been born again through holy baptism, and so you have a new life in place of the old inheritance of death. What does all of this mean? It means the devil is out to destroy us by temptation, but God is at work to give us a tested faith. A faith that in Christ daily puts our sin to death and walks in new life toward the resurrection. Today we gather to be renewed in that life. We gather here because we know our God is a mighty fortress. He is our trusty shield and weapon. He is the one who fights for us in the struggle against sin. He is the one who has granted us a new life. So we rely on him, and we look to the life of the world to come, the righteousness that dwells above. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Friends in Christ, I urge you all to lift up your hearts to God and pray with me as Christ our Lord has taught us and freely promised to hear us.
God our Father in heaven, look with mercy on us, your needy children on earth, and grant us grace that your holy name may be hallowed by us and all the world through the pure and true teaching of your word and the fervent love shown forth in our lives. Graciously turn from us all false doctrine and evil living whereby your precious name is blasphemed and profaned. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
May your kingdom come to us and expand. Protect and preserve pastors in their office. Bless Samson, Alex, newly baptized into Christ, and his parents, Seth and Rachel. Give joy to all who serve within our congregation and bless their work, especially our altar guild, all those who record our services, that we might make diligent use of your word and sacraments. Seek out and restore those who have wandered, and bring all transgressors and those who are blind and bound in the devil's kingdom to know Jesus Christ, your Son, by faithful that the number of Christians may be increased. Lord, in your mercy,
strengthen us by your Spirit, according to your will, both in life and in death. In the midst of both good and evil things, that our own wills may be crucified daily and sacrificed to your good and gracious will. Into your merciful hands we commend Tim, Ed, Amara, Joan, Anne, Dick, Tom, Earl, Ron and Mayu, Diane, Donna, Marilyn,
Anne, Jared, and Donna, as well as Anita, Georgia, Barbara, Ruth, Rick, Jeanette, Andrea, and all who are in need, praying for them at all times, thy will be done, Lord, in your mercy.
Grant us our daily bread. Preserve us from greed and selfish cares, and help us trust in you to provide for all our needs. Give our rulers humility and wisdom. Grant peace to our land. Bless our homes. Provide us with good and godly friendship. Watch over all who travel, especially Michael and Nancy Jane. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Forgive us our sins, as we also forgive those who sin against us, so that our hearts may be at peace and may rejoice in a good conscience before you, and that no sin may ever frighten or alarm us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lead us not into temptation, O Lord, but help us by your Spirit to subdue our flesh, to turn from the world and its ways, and to overcome the devil with all his wiles. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Heavenly Father, strengthen us through the holy communion of your Son's body and blood, that by it we might receive forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. Grant peace and comfort to the Menar family and all who mourn. And finally, deliver us from evil, of both body and soul, now and eternally. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
We trust, O Lord, in your great mercy, to hear and answer us, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Grant us your Spirit, gracious Father, that we may give heed to the testament of your Son in true faith, and above all, firmly take to heart the words with which Christ gives to us his body and blood for our forgiveness. By your grace, lead us to remember and give thanks for the boundless love which he manifested to us when, by pouring out his precious blood, he saved us from your righteous wrath and from sin, death, and hell. Grant that we may receive the bread and wine that is his body and blood as a gift, guarantee, and pledge of his salvation. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, at his command, and with his own words, we receive his testament. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me."
In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Our psalm today is Psalm 32, starting at the first verse. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and whose spirit there is no deceit. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away, though my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up in the heat of the summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, "I will confess my transgression to the Lord," and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Surely, in the rush of great waters, they shall not reach him. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Be not like a horse or a mule without understanding, which should be curbed with a bit and bridle, but will not stay near you. Many of the sorrows of the wicked, but the steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous. There shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance.
the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me."
Blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
We thank you, all-powerful God, for refreshing us with this healing gift. And we pray, Father of mercy, by this holy food, make us strong in faith toward you and in deep love for each other, that through us, other beloved sinners may kneel to you and receive with us grace, and life in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.